Welcome back once again to season 4 of the podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Blackwood. As many of you know, I wrote my autobiography as a survivor of human trafficking. It's called Custom Justice. But if you didn't know, you do now. Keeping in line with that, this entire season and last season has been focused on interviewing people who did or plan to write about their own experiences as trauma survivors and how they overcame the past. And as much as we all hate commercials, they are a necessary evil these days. This is what keeps the show on the air. You can also show your support by purchasing one of my mini books or donating through PayPal or leaving a review on whatever platform you listen to this podcast on. You can find the links for the books or donation options in the podcast description. As always, a portion of the proceeds go to local organizations that help fight human trafficking. Hey folks, welcome back to the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Amanda Blackwood. I have an incredible guest with me today. She is very open and authentic with her past struggles and what she's done to overcome everything that she's been through. She's pretty incredible. I think you guys are going to really get a lot of value out of hearing Charlene Madden speak. Charlene, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
I am excited to talk to you. I mean, you're the creator of Ignite Your Life, the women's workshop. You're a speaker, you're an author, you're a women's empowerment coach. But more than that, you are a survivor.
Wow. Yeah. It's funny. I always think of myself as an author and a coach, and I'm training in counseling right now. I think of all those things, and for some reason, survivor is always the one that comes last on my list, but you're right. It's probably the most important role that I have. So,
right. You can do all of these things, but you are who you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So where are you originally from? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Ontario, Canada. A small town, 2,500 people in the town that I grew up in. So, you know, you farted and your neighbor knew about it. So, I was pretty anxious once I graduated high school to get away and move to the big bad city where no one knew me. So,
right. I hear that. I moved to LA from a town of 163 people in Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
That was a bit of a culture shock.
Yeah, I bet.
So what was the form of trauma that you had to endure as a kid?
I went through about nine and a half years of sexualized trauma at the hands of my grandfather. And it kind of started, my parents separated. My dad was a really abusive alcoholic. And at just over three, my parents separated. And my mom had to make a difficult decision about which children she was going to take. I had two older half brothers and an older sister. And she had to make a difficult decision of taking my brothers and leaving my sister and I with my dad. And of course, being a severe alcoholic, he couldn't raise two kids. So he ended up contacting my grandparents, my maternal grandparents, and asking if they would take us in. And my grandmother never skipped a beat, said that we could come stay with them. And what should have been a more stable, loving household turned into almost a decade of sexual abuse.
Wow, that's insane. Was there any indicators that your grandfather was like that before this happened?
He had a lifetime of being a sexual predator. It had come out after our abuse finally came out that he had actually raped and molested my mother. And I'm not sure about the other females in his life. I have an aunt. I'm not sure if she experienced it. He has sisters. I'm not sure, or had sisters, sorry. So I don't know where or how long it went on, but I know it was definitely generational in our family.
Wow. Do you feel like this actually kind of altered your mindset around basically sexual and experiences and human relationships?
Absolutely. I have, coming from a broken family where very early on feeling like neither of my parents wanted me, not having any self-esteem in that. I learned through the sexual abuse that my value as a human was through my body. That's where the love came from. That's where the affection came from. And it actually, when I graduated high school and moved away, I ended up actually taking a career as an exotic dancer. And it seemed to fit because that's where my value was. And it just seemed normal to me. So it took a long time, a lot of years and a lot of work to understand that you know, my body is just a shell, and it's what's inside that, you know, defines me as a person. And that's where my value comes from.
Yeah. I think it took me 35 years to come to that conclusion myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I was 40, just about 45 when, you know, I really shifted my mindset. And I mean, I'm only 50. So this has only been, you know, a 5-6 year journey. So.
Wow. And so much can happen in such a short amount of time when you get the right learning and leadership and understanding of yourself and, you know, all of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's when you make that decision, because, you know, I believe that life is all about making decisions. So for me, it was not just making a decision to change my thought patterns, to change my mindset. It was choosing to live.
Right.
Because, you know, I had been suffering for so long with mental illness and suicidal ideologies that, you know, I decided at that moment that I wanted to live, and not just live, I wanted to thrive. I wanted to create a life that I was passionate about.
What was it that helped you to heal the way that you did?
I went to a workshop, and, you know, funny story was I had started seeking out mental health support. I had started seeing a psychiatrist, and I was in a really dark, dark place in my life where I knew I was on a precipice. It was either I was going to go over the edge or I was going to come out of it. And I remember talking to my psychiatrist, and, you know, I knew why I was messed up. You know, like I was realistic enough to say, hey, look at the life I experienced as a child. No wonder I messed up. I understand where it comes from. Mm-hmm. How do I fix it? And, you know, I remember just out of sheer desperation, sitting across from her and saying, look, can you just tell me what you did to fix your mental health struggles? And having, you know, her eyes kind of glaze over and go, well, I've never experienced mental health struggles myself. But that's kind of where I stopped listening. And I thought, well, if you've never experienced it, then how can you say you understand how I feel?
Right.
Because you don't. I mean, unless you've been there and you've sat in the dark, you can't possibly understand how that feels.
Yeah, a textbook understanding does not equate to lived experience at all.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I left that appointment. And when I left that appointment, I made a decision that that was it. And by saying that was it, I had decided that I was ending my life. Oh. I didn't want to fight anymore. I didn't have any fight left in me. I was exhausted. I was tired of pretending that I was okay when I felt so utterly broken inside. And I set a date for a month from that appointment that I was going to end my life. And I was on that path. I had, you know, location was picked out. I knew how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen. And it was going to be a Monday morning, because Monday mornings suck. We all know that. Might as well just end it in the beginning of the Monday, so we don't even have to deal with that day. But I had a friend and a coworker mention this workshop, and I was like, you know, she asked if I wanted to go. And of course, like, flat out said no. And then she said, you know, and this statement absolutely changed my life, was she said, please, I want to go, but I don't want to go alone.
Oh.
And that was always my kryptonite. You know, for everything I had gone through, I was so desperate inside to prevent anyone else from suffering.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't want this girl to feel alone. It's like, look, we'll just go. It's 2 days. We'll go. We'll pretend we're okay. It's great cover. Everybody will think we're fine. And so I went, and when I showed up to that workshop, I had my hunting rifle and bullets in the back seat of my SUV.
Oh my gosh.
That was a Saturday morning. I was going on Monday. I was driving up into the mountains, and I was shooting myself. And I went into that workshop with zero expectations other than let's just get through this and pretend we're okay. And I walked out a completely different person. And it came from three speakers sharing their stories, and not just sharing their stories, but being so open and vulnerable, and stories that I completely related with, because it was the experiences that I had been suffering, no self-love, you know, like not loving myself as a person, needing someone else to validate me as a person, not accepting myself, the good and the bad. And then, you know, learning that I was responsible for where my life was now. Yes, I had gone through some really shitty things, but at the end of the day, I was the one that was now driving. I could make a change if I made that decision. And so when I left, I made those decisions. And that's, you know, so one, I'm always that person that says one moment, one event can change your life. You just have to be open to it.
Wow, that is amazing. Do you remember one of the more pivotal moments of that day, of something that was said or done or somebody shared something?
Yeah, for sure. It was, like I said, I had connected with all three of the speakers, but the last speaker, and I will kind of backtrack just for a little bit. I'll digress here and say, I had been married to my high school sweetheart. I had kind of a breakdown, separated from him, jumped into another relationship right away, and had been in that relationship for 13 and a half years. The relationship was extremely toxic, a lot of domestic violence in the relationship. And that partner actually ended up leaving me after 13 and a half years for another woman. And I was completely crushed. But just 2.5 months after that person left, they committed suicide.
Oh my gosh.
I was crushed. I felt, you know, because we women tend to still love our abusers no matter what. And I was crushed, and I felt like I hadn't done enough to save that person's life. I had, you know, I had some survivor's guilt, and so the location that I was actually planning to go to was the location he had gone to shoot himself. And so I felt this connection and this pull to men and mental health after, you know, going through that. So the last speaker that spoke that day was a gentleman, and he got up and he spoke about his struggles with addiction, being divorced, losing custody of his children, and suffering from, you know, mental illness and suicidal ideology, to the point where he had spent a year trying to find a perfect mix of pain medication and alcohol so that he could commit suicide, but make it look like an accident. Mm. Because with life insurance, he wanted to insure, at least he left his kids some money. And as he sat there and shared his story about finally on a rare night that he had overnight visitation with his kids, that that was the night that he found that perfect mix. And as he was laying on his couch, overdosing with his kids in his apartment, he heard a little voice that said, "No, not yet. There's more." And he was able to get to his cell phone, get help. And he got clean and sober, got help for mental illness. And now he was sharing his stories in hopes of helping someone else who was experiencing the same things. And when he finished speaking, like, there was not a dry eye in the room. Everyone was so connected to his story. And, you know, of course, experiencing what I had experienced, a lot of the same things, you know, dealing with addiction, dealing with a failed marriage, dealing with custody issues with children, and living with chronic pain and being on Medicaid, all, like, all these things. I just was like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, hearing how he was so close. And here I was going, I'm that close.
Yeah.
And knowing that, you know what, listening to his story and the two other speakers that had come right before him that I had so connected with, and sitting there. And I remember, you know, I remember every time one of those speakers stopped talking, I kind of heard this little voice that said, "What about you?" And I kind of was like, yeah, you know, like, what if I would have learned to love myself? And what if I could have learned to accept my mental illness and learn to live with it in a healthy way? And what if I chose to live and take my experiences and share them so that someone else can know that they're not alone? Because I think we all know we're not the only ones who experience the things we're experiencing. And that's, like you said, that's kind of like the textbook knowledge of knowing, right? But then to hear people so vulnerably share their stories, and you go, wow, it isn't just me. And you know what? If they can do it, so can I. And so, like, he got off the stage, and I, you know, sat there going, wait a minute, like, this is not an accident that I'm here. I'm here for a reason. And that, you know, that moment, that exact moment saved my life.
You were 2 days away from ending it all.
2 days.
Did you ever tell that man what kind of an impact he had on you?
Yeah, he knows. I've reached out.
That's awesome.
I have reached out to him. So, yeah.
That's cool. Wow. What a crazy ride that was. Did you ever tell your friend who took you with her?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably didn't tell her for those first little bit because I had a lot of work to do. But
Yeah.
I had actually, you know, I remember telling the woman who organized the event. I remember sitting down with her on the Sunday and saying, now is maybe not the time, and but I just want you to know the impact that this event had on my life. And I said, and I'm sure you probably hear that all the time. And I said, but I'd love to be able to tell you know, in more detail. And so I ended up meeting up with her and sharing my story. And then the very next year, when she held the event, I came back as a speaker, and I stood
Wow.
on that same stage and shared what my experience had been sitting in that seat. And I remember, you know, I remember getting off because it was terrifying to, you know, to stand there and to say, hey, this is me. And I remember saying at the end of it, it's like my purpose always of sharing this story is just to save one life. If I can reach one person, if I can save one life, then everything I went through, the sexualized trauma, the domestic violence, the addiction, everything that I went through, if I can just reach one person, then everything's been worth it. And I remember, like, beelining it off the stage and having a woman stop me as I was on my way out of the room
Oh.
and say, hey, Charlene, thank you for sharing your story. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're welcome. And I just was like trying not to throw up at that point. And she said, and you know how you said you just wanted to save one life? And I said, yeah. And she goes, I just want you to know today you did. And she turned and
Oh.
walked away.
Oh.
And I have goosebumps right now, and I get goosebumps every time I say that because to me, I was like, that was it. That was the moment that all of that brought me to. And I heard that little voice that I had learned to listen to more now, and it said, okay, let's go find one more. So for me, like every experience I get to share my story is just trying to reach that one more person.
Isn't it cool being able to trade those unhealthy addictions for something healthy like that? Because that is absolutely an addiction. One
Yeah.
more, just one more,
Just
just
one
one more.
more. Yep. Yeah.
What's one thing you wish you could say to women who are struggling right now?
Oh, I can't put it down to one thing. I want to say so much, you know. I just want to say, you know, that regardless of what you've been through, you deserve the life that you're meant to have. You deserve love. But that starts with you. You deserve acceptance, but that starts with you. And just, you know, for me, finding my purpose, which is what, you know, I always say I found that day, find what lights your soul on fire and connect with that. But it starts with, you know, loving yourself, accepting yourself.
Right. And on that note, what is the, you are living the 3S life. What is the 3S life?
That's what it is all about. It's self-love, you know. Like for me, stating to myself, you know what, I'm okay to be alone for the rest of my life. I came to that decision that day at that event. It's like, you know what, if I have to spend the rest of my life alone, I'm okay with that because I love myself and that's enough. So self-love, number one. Self-acceptance. I've not lived a perfect life. I've made a lot of mistakes, and those mistakes have impacted other people's lives. But I gave myself grace to say, you know what, I did the best I could with the tools I had. And I accept myself as I am now and know that I can move forward to become the person that I'm meant to be. And that goes into the third one, which is self-responsibility. No one was coming to fix me. No one was going to come and do anything until I stepped up and took the self-responsibility to say, you know what, my life is now under my control, not the control of anyone else. And I get to choose my own destiny. So wow. Self-love, self-acceptance, self-responsibility.
That is very cool. And I love that your self-responsibility really kind of frames it up really nicely too. So many people think self-responsibility means self-blame, and that's not at all what it means.
No. No, and that's, you know, it's acceptance. And for me, like a lot of my growth came from, you know, I call it grace. And that was the understanding. And I remember sitting, you know, I remember sitting in a social services office with, you know, a bunch of social workers and my daughter, who was, I believe, 15 at the time, possibly 16. She's screaming at me about how I've screwed up her life. Which I hadn't made the best choices, and I knew it had impacted her life. But sitting there and you know, and looking at them all and saying, you know what, I did the best I could with the tools I had. And it was kind of an epiphany moment, because I didn't have, you know, I didn't receive any counseling after the abuse.
Right.
I didn't receive anything that gave me the ability to deal with what had happened in my life. So I just floated, you know, trying to do the best I could. But then leaving that office and then taking that grace, that I called it, and putting that grace on the other people in my life and going, you know what, I had been so angry at my mom for letting me go live with my grandpa, knowing that he was a sexual predator. And then bestowing that grace on her and going, you know what, she didn't get any counseling. She was just doing the best she could with the life that she had and the tools that she had. And even going so far as going, you know what, I have no idea what happened in my grandfather's life to create the monster that he was.
Right.
But I'm just going to give him grace and say, I don't know what caused him to be this way, but I give him grace.
Right. And that's huge. I mean, not only are you accepting, but you're also letting go of that anger, which is by definition, forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. I mean, the five stages of trauma that a lot of people aren't aware exist are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. And once you get to that acceptance stage, life changes.
It's so freeing.
Yeah.
It's so freeing. And, you know, and I always say to people, like, my grace wasn't for anyone else but me.
Yeah.
You know, the grace that I gave them, my grandfather had long been passed. My grandmother had passed. You know, my father had passed, you know, no one knew that I gave them the grace other than me. So I did that for me, not for anybody else. And I don't necessarily use the word forgiveness, because, you know, have I forgiven? I don't know if I've forgiven, but I, like you've said, I've accepted and I've moved on. I choose not to let it define me.
Right. Right. Who inspires you the most in the world right now?
I wanted to save myself.
I love that. I love that. I came up with a phrase several years ago, stop looking for a hero, try being one.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I inspire myself, because, you know, mental illness is not, it's not something that goes away, right? It's not like, you know, like you don't wave a magic wand and you're fine. I still struggle with mental illness. I still have really hard days. But I choose to keep going. And to me, that's super inspiring. And if I had to choose someone other than myself, I would have to say my oldest daughter, which is the one that was in that room screaming at me, because she's overcome so much. You know, both of my daughters, you know, I always joke, it's like mental illness gallops in our family. doesn't run, it gallops. And, you know, so both of my daughters have struggled with their own mental illness issues. And, you know, my one daughter, my youngest daughter has gone into university and is studying for social work and counseling.
Wow.
So she wants to take that and, you know, take her experiences and, you know, be able to help other people. And my oldest daughter has overcome a lot of struggles, but she is so strong and she chooses to use her experiences as a positive. You know, she shares her experiences. She, you know, is always trying to inspire other people to become the best that they can be. And, you know, it keeps, you know, they keep me going. They inspire me to keep being the woman that I'm becoming.
That's amazing. Special kids.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And how old are they now?
Oh, my oldest daughter is 29. And she's actually just getting married in a couple months. She's getting married in August.
Oh, congratulations to
thank
her.
You. Yeah. And my other daughter is 25. She'll be 26. Sorry, 26 in June. And then I have a son. My youngest is a son and he's 22. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice, well-rounded family.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
good
I'm
people to keep blessed. Stick around for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you got your book handy? Would you like to do a small reading for our audience?
Sure. And it's kind of what I touched on, but it was that moment of clarity that happened on that day at the workshop. And it just said, you know, I realized right then and there that it wasn't an accident that I was sitting in that seat. I was exactly where I needed to be in that moment in time. I needed to hear the messages that if I loved myself, it was enough. I didn't need anyone else to validate me. I needed to accept myself, the good parts and the bad. But more importantly, though, I needed to get honest with myself and the people around me. Only I was going to be able to save myself. And maybe, just maybe, going on that journey would mean that I could save others. And that's what I'm doing today.
Your journey is so beautiful, Charlene.
Thank you.
That's amazing. How do you celebrate your wins in life when something goes exceptionally well? Or let's say your daughter is getting married.
I just try to spend the time with the people that mean the most to me. You know, like we all have, you know, I always say find your cheerleaders, but number one, be your own cheerleader. Don't rely on anybody else to be your cheerleader, but find those people in your life that are going to cheer your smallest wins, because, you know, you've got the people that are out there and they're celebrating the big things with you. And that's great, but you need those people that are going to be there and they're going to celebrate the small incremental wins that you're going to have, because it's those small incremental victories that you have in your life that build up to the big monumental ones. So find the people in your life. And I mean, I have an amazing support network of, women in my life. I actually have an employer that I work for just one day a week, but she's the most amazing woman. And, you know, I love being in her presence and I love her energy, and she is always there celebrating my victories. And it's powerful to have those people around you. So
it's so important to have that support network of healthy relationships too.
Right. And it takes a while to get there sometimes.
It took
a lot of leaving people behind to, you know, to look out for what was best for me. So,
and that can be so painful too, because you've known these people for years. And how do you walk away from those friendships? You feel like you're abandoning them. But what's really happening is you're building these healthy boundaries about what it is that you need in your life and how you're going to progress in your life. And you can't stay in that same spot. And a lot of these people want you to stay in that same wounded spot because they know you best there.
And you know what? I always think the people that I have, and I always say it's outgrown, because I, you know, life is just, you're constantly growing. You're growing and evolving, or you're stagnating, one of the two.
Right.
And I think sometimes when you're growing, it really puts a spotlight on for people on how, you know, how they're not growing or how they're unhappy with their life. And instead of stepping into and taking that self-responsibility for their own lives, they just try to discourage you from doing it. Because if you stay the same, it doesn't put the spotlight on them that they maybe need to change some things in their life. So, you know, those people I just send love and light to, and just hope that, you know, I hope they get to a spot where they're ready to grow and evolve and change. And if they are, I'm right there being their cheerleader. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's all we really can do. Yeah. Very, very simply put, many years ago, the aphorism was born, misery loves company.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's exactly where this comes from. You know, they are miserable amongst themselves and they don't want to be alone there. They want to be around other people that understand that feeling, understand the victim mentality and embrace it for themselves too. Yeah. They're not comfortable with that change yet. When they are comfortable with that change, we've got resources available. You know, there's different things that they can do to be able to help them out. That's exactly what you're doing. That's what I'm trying to do. You know, we're here for them. But we can't be in that injured space with them.
Yeah, I always say I'm out there carving the path so that those who come behind me have an easier path.
Right. Yep. So, exactly what I'm trying to do too.
Yeah.
There's always one last question that I ask my guests before I let them go. It's my favorite question and it really kind of makes you think. So take your time if you need to.
Okay.
What is one thing that you absolutely love about yourself that's not related to your physical appearance?
I love my heart. I love my empathy and my compassion for people. I love that seeing people suffer affects me so deeply because it creates a desire in me to want to help other people live a better life. I'm not ever going to be able to stand back and watch someone suffer without trying to step in and say, hey, what can I do to help you? What can I do to support you? And I think that if we could embrace that a little more, you know, the world would be a really different place because there's so many people out there suffering. And I just sit there and, you know, like I said, I just try to focus on where's that one more, you know? So for me, it's my empathy and my compassion and wanting to help other people.
That's beautiful. Now you're on Facebook, you're on TikTok, you're on Instagram. You've got your own website, which is www.charlenemadden-speaker.com. If people are looking for your book, where they need to go?
They can actually find it on, I do have another website as well. This is my, where I do my coaching and I'm also a Reiki practitioner. So I do all my, my healing work is on www.ascension, A-S-C-E-N-S-I-O-N, wellnessstudio.com. So you can go on to my store, you can find the book. And some other little neat things there if you're looking for some apparel or goodies like that. So, or if you want to book any, you know, distance Reiki, or if you're close by, some in-person Reiki or some coaching sessions. So.
All right. And that web address one more time for our listeners.
www.ascensionwellnessstudio.com.
If you hear me typing in the background. I'm typing that right now into the episode description too, so it's easy for people to find.
Awesome.
Charlene, thank you so much for spending your time with me today. This has been really cool. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything that you're doing. I know you're changing lives and I'm impressed.
Thank you.
You do a lot.
And if I can end, I always like to end with one comment as well, every podcast that I like to do. And that is, if anybody who's listening feels that they are in a dark space, that they don't have anyone in their lives that they can talk to or feel comfortable talking to, please reach out to me on social media, on one of my platforms. Just message me if you're feeling lost and alone, because I know what it's like to feel that way. And again, I don't want anyone to feel like they don't have anyone that they can talk to that understands. So please, if you're sitting in the dark, message me and I will come sit in the dark with you. It's probably going to be virtually, but just know that you're not alone. And I'm always here if anybody needs someone to talk to.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Charlie.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed tonight's episode, please make sure you check out the episode description. There you'll find links on how you can learn more about this guest, links to connect with them on social media, and how to support the podcast. Remember, I don't get paid to do this. My boss is a bit tight-fisted. I can say that. I work for myself. In short, this show really is all about the guest. If you've enjoyed their interview, please feel free to let them know. You can also tune in to my other podcast, Growth from Darkness, which is co-hosted by a lovely lady from Australia. We talk about what trauma responses are and healthy ways to move beyond the past. For more information, just go to growthfromdarkness.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/growthfromdarkness.